Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It was Cruz and Trump being Godzilla and Little Godzilla last night at the GOP debate in South Carolina, fighting over whether New Yorkers are rude.
Everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage, focus around money and the media.
We rebuilt downtown Manhattan, and everybody in the world watched, and everybody in the world loved New York and loved New Yorkers. And I have to tell you, that was a very insulting statement.
Marco Rubio preferred to direct comments at Hillary Clinton. Might not have helped him, though.
Someone who cannot handle intelligence information appropriately cannot be commander-in-chief. And someone who lies to the families of those four victims in Benghazi can never be president of the United States.
John Kasich, like the rest of the candidates, just tried to be noticed.
In this country, people are concerned about their economic future. That's not the America that I've ever known. My father used to say, Johnny, we don't hate the rich. We just want to be the rich.
And in the instant punditry of Twitter, here are four fab tweets. 89-year-old former member of Congress John Dingell said of John Kasich, Kasich tells more back-in-my-day rocking chair stories than me or anyone I know, and I was born during the Coolidge administration. And Hillary Clinton's Twitter reaction? 2.5 hours of this? Imagine 4 years. So with that small taste of the GOP debate and some real-time Twitter reaction, how was it in the audience for this raucous affair? Enzi Ekpo is second vice chair of the South Carolina Republican Party. He joins us from Charleston. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much.
You know, it seemed to me that the South Carolinians are really enjoying all this, looking for a fatal blow nastiness that was going on up there on stage.
Well, I think the gloves definitely came off more from Cruz. The gloves have always been off for Mr. Trump. But I think we saw a glimpse of Senator Cruz taking the gloves off. And I think he landed some body blows. I think he definitely had some return blows from Trump. But Trump has been an equal opportunity destroyer. So we knew those were coming. But I was impressed with Senator Cruz that he was able to make some lasting hits on someone who, to this point, has pretty much been impervious to attacks.
Can we talk body language for a bit? I thought it was really
smart
of Ted Cruz to match Trump's kind of smug frowns with that smile.
Yeah, Senator Cruz is extremely disciplined when it comes to all things political, I think. I think he's really impressive. And I agree with you. He's practiced the body language, and he killed them with kindness, as it were, with a smile. Because I think he wants to run a happy warrior-type campaign in the style of Ronald Reagan. But, yeah, his body language was very measured, and I think he had a little bit of fun with the Donald.
Happy warrior, though? I mean, he's described as nasty. David Brooks did this whole big takedown of Senator Cruz, saying that his approach to Syria, et cetera, is anything but Christian, and his notions of evangelical Christianity are at odds with the kind of mercy tone of most evangelicals. What do you think?
I think a lot of that is media hype, personally. In full disclosure, I do support Senator Cruz. I think that's his opinion. I think some of the opinions were a little bit mean-spirited in comparing him to calling him pagan and these satanic and all of these different things. It's kind of comical to think that, but everyone's entitled to their opinion. That's what makes our country great.
Did you see that Times piece weeks ago about how, nobody has a good thing to say about him in the Republican Party, that, even his college roommate thinks of him as an awful, awful person?
Yeah, I did read that. And I actually think that might actually help him, because the mood in the country now is one of dissatisfaction with both parties, Republicans and Democrats. So when someone is touted as being hated by both the left and the right, that's not necessarily a bad thing, in my opinion.
Interesting. That is quite interesting. Rubio could not break out last night. I thought that was another big takeaway. And it does seem as though the days of Jeb Bush are numbered, and the other candidates just don't seem to be able to get any kind of traction in this environment. It really isn't about Trump. It's about this environment.
Right. I thought Rubio was the big loser last night, in my opinion.
And that's because of the way he interacted with Cruz, that people are finally seeing him as unimpressive. What do you think?
I don't think it's just that. I think that Rubio seemed bent on destroying President Obama, and every comment that he made, I think if you look at the tape, it's just, you know, he's constantly bashing the president. And of course, there's a degree of that all candidates will do, but it's my wife and I noticed he prefaced almost everything with how, you know, bad the president was doing and everyone else. I mean, he made the line that Hillary Clinton is not qualified to be president. Now, I'm a conservative Republican guy, and even I think that rhetoric is a little bit over the top. Nobody was really saying that. I mean, we all agree as Republicans that we think one of our people would be better. But to say that she's unqualified, some of the hits that he made against the Cruz tax plan were questionable. And just, I think his tone, he came off as more aggressive. I think he was purposely trying to come off as aggressive, but I think it just didn't really sit well, in my opinion.
That raises an interesting issue for South Carolina. A lot of focus on Iowa and New Hampshire, of course, in the early going here. But South Carolina is really, in some ways, maybe an even more important bellwether. And I'm just wondering if the GOP candidates here, Rubio being the example that you mentioned, are really not thinking deeply about criticizing the president so much. Because especially in South Carolina, you've got a lot of African-American voters in South Carolina who don't necessarily hear the message that's being delivered from the candidate. All they're hearing is a kind of an intolerance and a nastiness that goes directly to a kind of racial polarization piece.
Right. And, you know, I'm an African-American, and that's why I thought that Rubio's attacks were, he might have meant well. I think they just didn't come across well. As we progress in these debates, I think the candidates need to address policy more directly rather than just, you know, hit piece type sound bites. But that's to be expected in these debates. But, yeah, I would agree with you.
Hold the pundit hat. Do you think by next January your governor will still be working in the state house in South Carolina?
Nikki Haley is very talented, so it just depends. I think she would be a great asset to any administration. There's a lot of talk about her being a vice presidential pick or cabinet level. She's very talented, and she bespeaks the diversity that our party really has. So when you look at our slate of candidates, you have prominent African-Americans, you have senators in their 40s, you have elder statesmen, you have a wide variety, which you don't quite see this time around on the other side of the ticket, in my opinion.
And Say Ekpo is second vice chair of the South Carolina Republican Party. He spoke to us from Charleston, South Carolina.